Hello and welcome to our final look at the American Pie franchise with our thoughts on American Reunion, the fourth film in the franchise. And as always, joining me is Tony.
Hello.
And Josh.
Evening all.
We are here to say farewell.
Yes.
Despite the fact that it's a reunion, this is obviously our farewell to this franchise. We'll dive straight into it because it surprised me, having watched all of them like over the last 4 months, it surprised me at how kind of it closed everything off.
Yeah, it was perfect. Like,
yes,
yeah,
yeah.
And it really did surprise me how much it was like that, having not kind of watched all four at the same time. It did catch me by surprise. So let's jump into our thoughts. I thought the opening scene was a great way to subjugate what you expect from this franchise. You really expect it to be something dodgy.
Total subversion, isn't it? Yeah, love that.
Yeah, and then obviously we do get something dodgy within the same scene.
Yeah.
But to think, you think it really is the right at the start, we're going to get this really awkward scene, and it's completely not. It's completely the opposite to what we expect. And then obviously we slink back into the first film with Jim and the Sock making a return. And Jim
begins as it ends.
Yeah, and Jim's theme tune as well. We get a little bit of that for the first and only time in this film that we hear that. That's been peppered throughout the franchise. And that scene is incredibly wrong in so many ways.
Do you know what, right? The only way they could have made it better and slightly less creepy is it, and also would have had a nice little parallel for what eventually comes about in the film, is if they had a babysitter around looking after little, is it Evan? Begins with an A, I don't know that much. They have a babysitter looking after him, and the babysitter catches them two actually having sex rather than just Jim wanking into a sock.
Yeah. But it's the whole laptop on his cock as well.
Oh.
It's just horrible, that one.
it sends shivers down your spine.
He's got a boo-boo and then you see the blood. Oh,
yeah.
Awful.
Oh,
but it's the way they then double down on it then when he goes into the bathroom. It's just genius.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so wrong seeing Willow do that.
And then we slowly get introduced to the main characters, as has been the case throughout the film. But obviously this sees the return of everybody. There's no one missing in this film of the main character. So next up is the return of Kev, and oh dear, what has happened to Kev?
Where has he got all that bum fluff?
Yeah, and he looked
How
like that when I met
is
him.
That man's arse?
He looked like that when I met him.
Fucking hell.
Wales Comic Con, actually. Oh, way back when they were still at the university. He was there and he actually played a gig with his band that weekend. So yeah, I met him around this time. I can't even remember what year it was now. It would have been 2016-17 time, I think.
Must be. Yeah, they've been.
But the whole Real Housewives thing is very of its time.
He's whipped.
Yeah, very much so. And the
line that they give him down the phone. Is it Jim that gives him down the phone about him being his favourite housewife?
Yeah. And it's one of those things that's very much of its time, isn't it? I can't imagine it's a big thing anymore, not that I would know. Yeah. And then the return of Oz, finally, after he was missing from the last film. And they kind of explain why he was missing.
They just, yeah, they dress it with kind of one line, don't they? They just, they
missed it. And it's like clear he's been off doing something else that's meant he's too busy.
Yeah, yeah.
To do it.
Media career, isn't he, by the looks of it. And then,
and is it just me, or am I right in saying that he did do Dancing with the Stars in real life?
Quite possibly.
Oh, I don't know. No idea.
I'm sure he did.
Lad, I barely even watch Strictly, let alone Dancing with the Stars.
It's been so long since I watched this, I'd forgotten that bit was in there about him doing the Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that as well. And then we get Stifler with his usual walk and talk, big entrance. It's always been his thing, hasn't it? Like when he's been at the parties.
Yeah.
He walks through the house and greets people and does things that he shouldn't to people. And he continues it here.
Walking lawsuit now.
Yeah, especially that end bit when he slaps her on the arse. It's just like, and then to find out that he's only a temp.
Yeah.
At the end of it all, it's like, okay. Yeah. Which is, and then it's like, oh, it's Lester from Chuck.
I completely
forgot he was in it.
The comment I'd written down here was, his boss will be off to an electrical store soon.
Yeah. I'd completely forgotten he was in it because it was quite a big thing. He was kind of the first one to get a role after Chuck finished. Obviously, Zach had done a couple of bigger roles, but he was kind of the first star outside of that to get a role somewhere else. And it was quite a big thing at the time that he got it. And then I did note it does start to feel quite bittersweet at this point, because it does feel like a farewell tour of everybody kind of filtering in.
Yeah,
but the way I took it, rather than it being quite sad, I thought, right, they've taken all the best bits from every single film, the best bits of every joke, and they've not only replicated them perfectly, they've also then added them or twisted them in a really clever way.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's kind of what brings it down, doesn't it? Is the fact that you are seeing all of these bits that we know and love already.
What I want to know is how Jim's dad never ages throughout these four films.
He still hasn't.
Yeah, he was on Graham Norton the other week.
Yeah, he's still, other than a bit of grey in his hair and his eyebrows, he doesn't look any different.
That man is there with like Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston. They've got access to some secret elixir in Hollywood, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd forgotten how hot the next door neighbor was. Completely.
I recognize her somewhere else as well.
Yeah, she's been in a few things since.
Yeah. I think if I can have a look what she was in. But it's so awkward that bit with Jim and.
But it's like, I shouldn't be doing this. Right from the word go. But that pretty well is signposted right from the word go, isn't it? What's going to happen? Something wrong is going to happen here completely. We know that.
But it's still dead funny to watch it play out.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And then obviously we get the throwback to the bedroom. it was always going to have to make an appearance, wasn't it? And then he pulls out the porn mags again. Only for his dad to more or less admit that he's been looking at them as well.
The way his dad goes, I did read an interesting article. Though you weren't reading no articles, mate.
No, definitely not.
I forgot that the mum died as well.
That was... It came as a bit of a shock again, and it is very sad when they go through it. So you
kind of realise all the things that we've missed in their lives in that decade between the third and fourth films, effectively, or the best part of a decade.
Yeah, very much so. And there is a very noticeable difference in filming technique with this one compared to the other three. It looks different. And obviously that's because of the 10-year difference between the films. Mm-hmm. It was quite surprising how different it looked. But and then I mean,
you get that the tech as well, like that scene later on was different. The fact that they never had cell phones when they first But my jaw actually hit the floor with the realization of that. From the first film.
Yeah, very much so. And I completely forgot on the love interest for Finch. She annoys the hell out of me in everything I've seen her in.
Yeah, she's been in a lot, hasn't she?
Yeah, she was in Once Upon a Time for the final season.
Yeah.
She did a couple of seasons in Entourage as well. And I've just never been a big fan.
But it's a great character.
She is better in this. Yeah.
Because it's her, isn't it, in that photo, yeah. I think. Because she's in the credits. They credit her in the photo.
Yeah.
Over the top of that name. So that's a great makeup job as well for that still, just for a still.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did pick up this is Stifler's mum's earliest appearance.
Mm.
She appears, it's not just a cameo this time. She's actually in the main bulk of the film for the first time. So that was a bit of a shock as well that they went down that route to bring her in a bit early compared to the rest.
It's the fact that she's given a different story now. And I did like that Finch has kind of moved on from her in those few years.
Yeah, and I like that moment later on in the film when he sees the photo of her while he's kissing her, and he's like, "No, I'm done. That's it. Yeah. I'm done with it."
Yeah, and he snogs carries on. Yeah,
yeah, and then you kind of have those moments in the bar when they're all sat around chatting to each other, and that's kind of what's made these films. It's those moments when they're just sat together talking.
It's the grounded lifelike moments, isn't it? Like you do just sit in a bar, chat and shit with your mates.
Yeah, very much so. And I have to bring it up. Why is it we've sat through three other films, get to the fourth one, and we see Jason Biggs' cock?
I'd written down that we don't need to see that.
Do you know what? I was pissing myself laughing at that part. And then when they go, it's a see-through lid, and I thought, oh, that's hilarious, and then it's just there on the screen, and I went, whoa, hang on a minute.
I really wasn't. I'd completely forgotten that moment as well. After all those years of never really seeing anything.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, just to put it there, just full frontal, and it's like, oh, okay, we're going down that route, are we now? And that's because one of my things, compared to the previous film, I think with Wedding, it kind of felt like it was just a long list of setups for big, like, comic moments.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel that's where it lost it with the third film. Whereas the first two and this one, it will have one really stupid moment and then we'll get, like, a proper storyline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, obviously, we've got this moment with Jim, and then we have Stifler shitting in the freezer box.
I get I've forgotten so many moments. I'm sat there pissing myself at that bit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Whereas the last film felt like they were trying to do that constantly.
Yeah,
it's a wet one as well.
Yeah.
What the fuck has Stifler been eating that he's producing that kind of shit?
Yeah, exactly.
And that he knows he's producing that sort as well.
Yeah. And it's the fact that when they get back, he goes, I think I need to find some toilet paper. So he's been driving the car. He's been driving that car with that stuck up his ass.
Oh, don't.
With them sat next to him.
Yeah. You'd fucking stink.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like,
it's the payoff again, which the kid sticks the hand in. It's just,
yeah, boy. Yeah, definitely. And
it's obviously Nutella, but like, not one of them goes, "Oh my god, mate, you need to go and see a doctor."
Yeah, very much so. And onto that moment, it kind of, it feels like Apocalypse Stifler when he's in the water.
Okay.
I loved how the music as well used the two tones of Jaws as well.
Yeah. And it also, but it also feels like when you see him actually come out of the water, like he's going to do the old hippo thing with his ears. Like his ears are going to twitch. That's what it feels like.
Criminal damage as well.
Yeah, but it's the fact that it's the first time I think any of Stifler's like pranks have actually worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got away with it.
Yeah.
But we move back on to kind of the characters returning. We obviously get Mina Savari and Tara Reid in this section of the film making their return. And I have to be honest, I think Tara Reid had toned down the plastic surgery at this point. She looks quite fresh-faced again.
Yeah.
Compared to how she had looked. And Mina Savari was, as always, she's an Oscar winner. What do we expect? She always puts in a decent performance.
Yeah.
She's never going to just phone it in no matter what. It was nice to see both of them come back after we'd been missing them for a couple of films. It was quite sad that they weren't in the last one. But then obviously we move on to the crux of the film, I would say, is the whole thing with Jim and the next door neighbor. Then obviously we get the keg is back. In the back, we see Stifler pouring from it as he always does. We get Jim's final sexual failure. There had to be one, didn't there? Something always goes wrong when it comes to this for Jim. And we get one MILF guy at this point. John Chow, as we've talked about over and over again. Has had a great career as a kind of a character actor, I would say, in the long run.
Yeah, and these are a little sort of interesting little lay-by in his career, aren't they, these appearances?
Yeah, very much so. And again, it's a really nice storyline for him. Obviously, they make out that he's not friends with his mate anymore, but he returns at the end.
Yeah.
We won't talk about what he watches. I'd completely forgotten the storyline with Jim's dad and Stifler's mom.
I was surprised when I saw that, honest to God.
Yeah. But it's actually a really nice touch because it shows kind of where Jim got his paranoia from.
Oh God, yeah.
Because Jim's dad goes into a complete meltdown. First of all, drinking, and then but he thinks he's going to get caught by the cops.
I hate that sequence. It's one of his best sequences across the film.
Yeah, well, when he falls out of the window and then he's running along the side going, "You haven't seen me, you haven't seen me." And he jumps over the back fence.
It's because Stifler is so bored and feel like, "I'm going to get you fucked up."
Yeah. And then that's a really great pairing that we hadn't seen before, which I thought was nice. And we get a Neil Patrick Harris cameo as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I'd completely forgotten because, of course, he was in Harold and Kumar with John Chow.
Yes.
So that's kind of where that came from. And as I said, I was standing outside the premiere of the last Harold and Kumar film in LA, and Jason Biggs was there that night. So it wasn't a massive surprise. I did say it's something we've talked about previously about kind of the soundtrack standing out, and I thought that was probably the weakest part of this film. I didn't think the soundtrack was quite as catchy.
Yeah, I can't remember any of the songs, I'll be honest.
No, and in fact, one of my early notes was there was a song in it that I'd obviously been in this film first, but then was covered on Glee. And when I'd seen it on Glee, I hadn't recognised it. And it wasn't until I put this DVD on that I was like, oh, that's that song from Glee. And I had no idea that that's what it was. Then we get a really lame fight outside the party. that no one actually does anything to anybody.
But we also get Alison Hannigan dressed as a dominatrix.
Look, the way you said that in such a low voice, like you were just at it in your mind at the same time.
Yeah, but it also shows how well Ali can sell Heartbroken.
Yes, because that scene just flipped in an instant.
Yeah. She's just fantastic in that. So we saw it so many times on Buffy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
she can sell the
Heartbroken moments, yeah.
Yeah. And then we get the complete shock that after all of that, Finch is a downright liar.
Yeah, I just scribbled down. Finch was a bike thief.
Yeah.
And it's the one bit of the film that didn't know me because I kind of wanted him to really have had that life. He kind of deserved it, I thought.
Yeah. It's really, really sad.
My jaw literally hit the floor when that happened.
Yeah. But it completely comes out of left field as well. You don't expect it at all.
No. Yeah. No, you don't.
Which is a real shame.
Yeah, because you kind of want all his experiences with Finch, with Stifler's mum, to really had that growth effect on him that he'd gone out and seen in the world. And it's a bit of a kick in the teeth when you find out he's just as boring as the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And then we kind of get to the end of the film. And I kind of just... It reminded me of what the first two films had that Wedding didn't. And it was all kind of an issue of the heart, wasn't it? For all of these films. And Wedding kind of lost that because it kind of... They weren't looking for an end goal.
Mm.
It all just seemed like they were in it for themselves and it wasn't really going to make their lives any better.
I do like the fact that we finally get... Because I scribbled down earlier that we haven't mentioned yet. That there's no mention of when we talk about Stifler being a temper, we thought he was going to be a party planner, and of course, he ended up looking like he's going to have a career as one, but in the most unexpected way with his look.
And that again was surprising that it kind of it backtracks on the previous film, though, doesn't it? Because he kind of became friends with Bear in the last one,
Yeah,
this one points out that he kind of isn't really all right with it yet.
Yeah.
And it kind of does set him back. But Stifler does feel like back to his old character in this one. Like we talked about with Wedding, he kind of lost his way. It wasn't the Stifler that we knew.
And he feels quite sad as a character as a result, right, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It puts me in mind of a little bit of the... Not quite as insane, but the Gary character in that last Cornetto trilogy film, At World's End or whatever it's called, who sort of never been able to move on and still wants to party like it's 1993 or whatever.
Very much so. And then we get the last two cameos. We get the Shermanator and we get Jessica back.
Yes, so it's nice to see them back.
Yeah, very much so. It wouldn't have been the same without them. To finish it off without those two.
We'd also had his brief appearance as well, which is great.
Yeah, very much so. And then we finally meet Finch's mum.
Rebecca De Mornay. Rebecca De Mornay in the 90s was one of the go-to actresses. Oh, my word.
Yeah. I mean, and she ends up
about a proper bookend.
Yeah, very much so. And as we talked about before, we
but you know, it kind of feels right because Finch was a bit of a douche doing that with the mom all the time. So it's kind of a great payback for him.
Yeah,
but it's the fact.
No, I was just going to say, and this is where we get the return of the MILF duo at this point. I'm glad they didn't give us a close-up of them on the center circle, though.
Yeah, I am.
No.
I am. Did not need to see that. The silhouette was bad enough.
Yeah, very much so. And pretty much back where it all began, in the cafe, in the restaurant, eating hot dogs, where it all began in the first film.
And then, we get the sort of I love that Stifler is just sort of holding back right till the end of the film. Because he's desperately wanting to burst it out, isn't he? You can see it. But he's just having to refrain it because the script calling the calls for it, didn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, very much so. And so I'll give you my final notes before I hand it over to you guys. It just, it feels like it returns to its roots. It concentrates on the main characters again. And for me, it's a triumphant finale. So you guys got anything you want to add?
Just scene wise, there are ones we didn't cover much. There's some great little bits with them. You know, like the stuff with the next door neighbor, the daughter next door, just that whole sequence is so uncomfortable when he's driving her back
drunk. Yeah.
And she's all over him. But again, it's one of many great set pieces when they're trying to get her back. The set pieces in this I thought were really good, and that's a great one. It's just the Stifler trying to get in and have a look, and it's just
so yeah, we didn't touch on that scene with them hiding in the teddy bears and all sorts of things. It's just Jim's head poking out.
Yeah,
it's just like he's a teddy bear. It's like he's just part of
the cow as well. When a dad moves the cow, he goes, "Oh my god, I could turn my head. I could do anything. No, I'll just shut my eyes."
Yeah, not going to try and hide myself.
Jim's dad learning about vagin and back in the day, and it's just, all that stuff was just great.
Yeah,
and Eugene has so much doing this, like we mentioned that bit where he just flees at the end of his sequence, brilliant, and tries to pretend he's never been there. It's great stuff. The biggest thing for me, I enjoyed this more than I remember enjoying it at the cinema. Whether I think because of the finality of it at the cinema. Might have been part of the reason, but going back and watching it now and just taking it in like we have done, I say there's some really great set pieces. We get kind of get closure arcs for pretty much everybody. Even that we even find out that Jess has confirmed she's been now a lesbian and she's got a relationship, and we get Finch has kind of moved on. We look like Stifler might have a career at long last. Jim's in a happy place. The guys are all in a happy place. And it's nice. It's got elements of the old American Pie and some ridiculousness, but it probably shouldn't work, but it does in that respect.
Yeah.
The thing it's difficult to score these, and once we've done like three or four, I'll probably score less than one of the other ones. So it's basically. Add one mark onto whatever my highest one was of these. Otherwise, I'm going to go, I think, for 80%.
Yeah. Anything for you to add, Josh?
I can't really give it much more praise. I mean, the only sort of slight negative I can give it is that with all the characters that they had coming back and all the characters that they had still existing from the continuous films, I'd say probably Kevin, once again, was the least developed character. But in that same vein, the ending of his sort of arc with his girlfriend from high school and then now with his wife was just nicely tied up. But I'd say the lead up to that tie-up wasn't particularly good. But
And I think the issue with Kevin is that he is meant to be the glue. He's meant to be the solid one, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just sort of there. He gets on with it, you know what I mean? But I'm in exactly the same boat as Tony, to be perfectly honest. Whatever the hell my highest score was for these films, add one on. I cannot fault this film other than a tiny little nitpick.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting. I've written down my score and I've looked at it and I'm like, why the hell did I only write that down compared to others? And I went back and looked and I'd given Wedding a higher score. And I've got no idea why I've written less for this. So I'm actually going to have to change it. And I gave Wedding an 81. I think this has to be an 85 for me in comparison, because it is a far superior film.
Yeah. Yeah, it's much better. Yeah, and also I think we didn't mention it, with Chris and Heather being back, for me, they were always the heart of those first two films, and they're back again for this one.
Yeah.
And Chris's absence was noted in the third one, I thought.
Yeah, because very much so.
He always felt like the proper best man person.
Yeah.
And wasn't about in the third one.
Yeah. Definitely. It was definitely missing something in that third one.
Yeah.
So I think that wraps up. I think we can safely say that it's a fairly solid franchise.
Yeah.
For the most part. For a comedy franchise, it doesn't do much wrong. For the most part. It has a bit of a dip in the third film, but
yeah.
Other than that, I think the first two in this one are all pretty much even.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't go wrong. So on that note, that is the end of the American Pie franchise. So as always, we go back round to the beginning once more. And it's over to you, Josh.
Yeah, so I've decided on a shorter franchise this time. It's only a three film long. So that'll take us up to April, May, June. So we're going to be taking a look at a bit of a spoof franchise this time. I thought we'd stick with comedy, but we'll go a slightly different direction rather than just straight out comedy. We'll go for a spoof. We're going to go for a franchise that spoofed one of the greatest franchises of all time. And that's the James Bond franchise. And we're going to look at Austin Powers.
Yeah, baby.
I was waiting for what he used to do that.
And the fact that we both did it exactly at the same time.
Well, we've known each other too long, mate, now, I think.
Yeah, we have. It's 20 years this year, so it's not a surprise that we're finishing each other's sandwiches. So, thank you, listeners, once more. Thank you, boys, for joining us for these four films. It's always great fun when we look at these, especially when, in Josh's case, you hadn't seen these at all.
Yeah, and to be honest, Paul, I just want to say before you close out the episode, a massive thank you to you simply for choosing this franchise, because without this podcast and without you picking this franchise, I would probably have gone to my grave without seeing the American Pie films. And I am so, so glad that I've now seen them, because they are fucking hilarious.
The thing is now, Josh, now you have to watch the spin-off so you can compare notes with Craig.
Oh, for fuck's sake, no. Oh, no. If Craig wants to pay for my bus fare up to his house and for a bit of popcorn and sweets, that's fine. But other than that...
You don't want to be sharing popcorn with Craig.
Especially not after that mid-credit scene from this film. He'd be getting ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Never know what you'll find in the bomb. So on that note, we move on. And we will be back next month with Austin Powers, the International Man of Mystery.
Yeah, baby.